Hello, everyone. This is Coach Fav for Casinos USA Podcast. And welcome to episode 109, April 15th, 2021. And we're calling it Just a Start. And coming your way today, we'll be talking about planning those casino resort vacations, some of the agenda issues you have to be concerned with. We're going to refer to a recent trip back to Rocky Gap in the mountains of Western Maryland. Of course, that's a famous casino resort. We're going to also talk about the value of bubble craps. Whoa! Are you saying there's none? We think there is. And we can tell you how you can actually put that into your agenda issues. And then, in Craps Talk today, we're going to reveal a new strategy. Test it. One time, test it. 44 up and down. 44 up and down coming your way in Craps Talk. So we go to a very short break, and Janie will be joining us to start the show. And we'll be starting with back to Rocky Gap and then to agenda issues.
Hi, everyone. This is Jane. We're just back from Rocky Gap Casino. That is a casino resort in right outside of Cumberland, Maryland, in the Western Maryland Mountains and near Frostburg University. We enjoy going there because they have a lake, and we've talked about it many times. The outdoor activities is affiliated with the lake. And our experience with the casino was good this time. We weren't sure what to expect, as we hadn't been there for over a year, and that was the longest venue since they opened that we haven't been there. We used to go every couple months. But I will say, upon arriving, check-in was very easy. When we got up to the room was spotless. It was shining. I even told housekeeping, the staff that I saw there, what a great job they had done. It was very warm and welcoming. And we had a lake view window, so it was, you know, we had a great venue to look out upon. And then our gaming experience started out pretty well, too, with the exception that Coach Fav couldn't get into the craps table, because they were only using one end of it, which is unusual. They allowed six players, but each one had plexiglass shields around them, and they only played on the one end, which did away with one dealer, or one dealer less, and they had a waiting list there if you wanted to get into play. So, of course, I got him to come and play a slot machine with me for a while, which he almost never does, occasionally. But not with me, apparently. I play too fast, as he says, and he doesn't like that. But we had a great time. We got a great machine, got several bonuses, were ahead of the game there. And I just think it was a fun experience. They have a lot of new machines there, and a lot of the larger, louder machines are there.
I just also want to add that The casino itself was clean, as you said, the rooms were. But if there was any issue, and it's probably true in Vegas and everywhere else, it was with the restaurants.
Yes, we found they don't have the buffet anymore there, which I wasn't surprised to hear. In fact, I called to ask them if they were going to have it, so we expected that. But what I didn't know was there's a restaurant right beside the Lakeside Buffet there called LB's, a very nice restaurant. Has they're rated best crab cakes in Maryland. So if we went there for breakfast, and you can sit in the Lakeside dining room, which has the nicest venue because you're right there with all the windows, able to look out at the lake. So we were happy to be able to eat there, and the food was excellent. Again, limited menu there. As in LB's, they have a more limited menu than they used to have. But it's open and functioning. What they didn't used to have was breakfast, but since the buffet closed, they've added it. And I will say it was an excellent breakfast. We got to meet with the administrator and manager of the housekeeping team while we were there and talked to him, and he told us an interesting story about the crab cakes. He said when they opened a restaurant there, just before they opened it, the staff went to all the restaurants in Maryland, especially in the cities like in Annapolis and Baltimore, and checked out the crab cakes because they wanted to have the best crab cakes. And they have succeeded. I think if you ask anybody who's ever eaten there or anything that would be recommended there, it would be their crab cakes.
Well, the food, again, in the LB breakfast area was great. And the disappointment was, you know, it was a little bit limited, but it was okay. You ordered off a menu. But we also really enjoyed the chili and the fish offered at the sports bar, which is really, in a sense, the third restaurant. Now with the buffet closed, it's the second. And that's where the disappointment came in.
Yes, their menu is so limited. They no longer have the fish. They no longer have the chili. They no longer have the loaded nachos, the three items that I would be very likely to order. You can still eat in that restaurant or in their outside room that is right beside the pool and also has doors right to the fire pits in the outside area. But I understand that, you know, they can't operate it. They haven't been operating at full capacity, so they can't order the foods that they used to be able to back up that menu. So it was disappointing. However, because of that, they enlarged and remodeled their deli area in their deli bar that's on the main floor right as you go into the casino and right by the lobby. You can order from in the casino or the lobby. And they have a large variety of sandwiches now, a lot of pastries. So they have, and I think they know that people are used to eating sandwiches or eating outside of restaurants and in just with tables with just people there with. So I think that's one reason they enlarged that. But that was a plus to all this.
Yeah, the lobby deli is definitely a big, big improvement. And they did have previously remodeled their lobby, so there's plenty of room to sit down. It's very comfortable. It also, the entire resort offers those beautiful lake and mountain views. It's great. But we were pleased to find after we did have dinner at the sports bar, disappointed that we didn't have our favorites, that the craps table was then open. So I'll get back to that later and talk about a later craps game. But, you know, it is probably a problem for a lot of people that play craps because these pandemic tables are limited to six players. And, you know, so even if you have two tables, you could have a situation where you have to wait. But the issues that with the restaurant leads us to agenda issues in our Las Vegas planning. And I want our listeners to also pay attention. If you're planning an agenda, it's so much fun to plan for a Vegas vacation or any vacation. But one danger is a lot of restaurants in Las Vegas are not open 24/7 or every day like they used to be.
Right. If you have a favorite restaurant that you frequent or that you want to go to when you're in Las Vegas, call ahead and see if they're going to be open. Now, they can't. That question can't even be answered by everyone because they don't know when they might open. But at least check now to see if they are open. I know I called just to see if the pools were open now, and they are. Although a piece of information that I got through the mail had said they were closed, apparently they aren't. They're open, but a lot of restaurants are closed, or a lot of restaurants, as I said about Rocky Gap, are operating with reduced menus and reduced help. It's been a problem to get people back to work right now in that capacity, which brings me to another point that transportation in the city is difficult. There is a shortage of Uber and cab drivers right now.
That's basically due, let's be honest, because some say they're making as much money on unemployment as they are by working. And, you know, I'm not going to question that, but the problem is I understand you even have concerns about the airport transportation, how to get to your hotel.
So I would contact the hotel for sure where you will be staying to see if they have a shuttle service. And if they don't have a routine shuttle service, they may be able to just, you know, have a shuttle come out for you. Most of them are always willing to do that. You just have to ask for that. But there are more concerns now when making your reservations, the areas that you have to have covered or make sure they're covered.
If your trip to Las Vegas is about a special restaurant, and even if they're open, this is an issue. We've seen this happen. It didn't happen to us, but it's happened to good friends, and it could have happened to us. We were just lucky. if you make reservations on a Friday or Saturday night and you're thinking, well, we made dinner reservations for, let's say, 8:30 p.m., okay, and then, you know, you look, yeah, that's only down the strip halfway. It's too far to walk, but we'll leave here at 8, we'll get there, and we won't have to wait around. You get out to the Uber stand or the cab stand, and you find out what on a Friday or Saturday?
Well, you find out that there's either no cabs available or no Ubers available. You'll have to call and wait for them to come. But there's always a shortage on Fridays and Saturday nights. You know, these drivers want to go to where they feel they get the best tips, the most tips, and they don't want to pick up a fare unless they're going to another venue where they're going to pick up the next fare. So there's been issues on the weekends with getting that transportation, or at least getting it in a timely fashion. I think that's what we want to point out. You have to allow a lot more time than maybe you did before.
Well, the thing is, even if the cabs are there, you go out to the cab stand, there's a line of 35 people, 40 people here behind. So it's going to be a half hour till you get to your cab. So you'll be late for your reservations. And that's the issue. Janie, I'll go as far as to say this. I don't know how you feel about this. If a particular restaurant is the main focus you have in your agenda, I would stay at that hotel. That's what I would do. You know, even if you're going to change hotels the next day, I would stay at that hotel. That way you don't have
right.
to worry
I
about
think
it.
It's just easier if you're going to the restaurant and it's in your hotel. You don't, you know, you can swim all afternoon if you want, play some games, some craps, some blackjack before you go, and then you're already ready. It won't take any time.
And then, you know, the other thing is, well, I'll just rent a car. Well, the problem is financial with that. Yeah, you can rent a car, but here's the issue. Almost everywhere, with a few exceptions, you pay for parking. So you're staying at the hotel and you're paying for parking. You're not even using the car. It's in the garage. And then you're going to go to a restaurant. And when you get to that restaurant at that different hotel on the strip, you're going to pay for parking. And that's why things in some ways may never get back to what they were. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I do. That's a major issue at the moment. Charging for parking, not charging for parking, charging resort fees. There's a major lawsuit involving casinos about the resort fees, that they aren't, you know, made aware enough of them in the initial pricing.
Yeah, you know, you look online and you're thinking, this is an unbelievable deal. I can stay, you know, at this wonderful hotel for $35, $45 a night. And then all of a sudden you find out that resort fees are $45 a day plus taxes, you know. So, and sometimes it's even worse. So that's an issue. The other agenda issue I wanted to bring up is if you're going with friends, what you want to do and what they want to do, and if you throw gambling into this, could be two different things. And you need to compromise, and you also need to discuss, what are we going to do in Las Vegas? And I would suggest that I enjoy a videographer that takes you to Las Vegas hotels, and his name is Pomparelli, and he goes by Pompsy. And I think he's really good. He's going to be a big name.
He's on YouTube.
Yeah, he's on YouTube, and he's going to be big because he's so much fun to watch. But the thing about him that I find so amazing, he's a young guy, and it doesn't matter what hotel it is. It could be the Cosmo. It could be, you know, an ordinary lower-level hotel. It could be an elite hotel. But here's the point. After 10 o'clock, he's ready for bed. Like, it's so much fun to see this guy. You know, he's not pretending to be something he isn't. He goes to bed early, even in Las Vegas, and even though he's a young guy in his 20s. I just get a kick out of it. But pick out videos that take you through the hotels if you're not familiar with the hotel, because most of them will give you at least a pretty good impression of what this hotel could be like.
Right, and I think a lot of this is for what we're talking about is advice for people who have maybe never been there or have been there once or twice and are thinking about it in pre-pandemic times, because it has changed some. We all know that from our own experiences wherever we live, that, and each state's different, but a lot of states have shut down a lot during this time. And a lot of people have been in for almost, well, over a year.
It's big news right before our podcast that the hotels are so excited about getting back to 100% occupancy, and what they're saying that they're asking their staffs to get vaccinated so they can advertise that. And how about this offer? The Cosmopolitan, this was in the newspaper, the Review Journal, actually said to their staff, and I'm sure it's a very large staff, that they have $1 million they'll throw into a kitty if the hotel achieves 100% vaccine completion by their staff. They'll divide up that $1 million among the staff members. But it has to be done by May 1st, and it has to be 100%. What do you think of that deal, Janie?
Well, I think it's a, you know, good deal, but I don't, you can't force people to get the injection. So I have mixed feelings about that. I've had mine, and I would get mine.
Yeah.
But I don't know about it. I can't speak for anybody else.
It's an individual thing, and some people have medical reasons why they'd be fearful.
Right. I think not 100% of any area could probably, we're talking large amounts of employees, too,
yeah,
that I don't think 100% are probably able to get it. Maybe due to allergies or some other medical condition.
So the two things about the agendas that we wanted to point out to our listeners, remember that some restaurants are only open on certain days now during the pandemic. They, for example, they might be closed Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And also there is a transportation issue in Las Vegas. No, at this point, as far as we know, nobody has valet parking. So,
that's another issue that I didn't bring up. Yes, nobody's doing valet parking, so that makes everything take longer. If you have a rental car, then you have to go and park it.
And we all know how long that walk can be from a parking
and
garage.
The walks, yes. The garages are as large as the hotel, so you're talking a lot of hoofing it. I might add that the monorail is operational. So if you were going to make reservations to go out there, you might want to go to a hotel that's on that monorail line. Although the walks from the hotel to the actual monorail station and the monorail itself can be pretty far, but at least you can have transportation.
And I know it's not the most popular part of the Strip, but the southern end of the Strip with this sequence of Mandalay Bay, the Luxor,
and Excalibur.
They do have a tram that's free of charge, and that is running. So it kind of gives you, what, three casinos?
Well, four, because you can walk to New York from Excalibur pretty easily.
Yeah, and that area is an enjoyable area.
There's a lot to do and see in that area, so that's one way you can get back and forth without having to worry.
Yeah, and you could take a tram. You're not paying for Uber fee or cab fee or anything like that, and you still get to see three or four resorts and have some fun on the outside, too. So that wraps it up for agenda issues. Hey, and Janie, thank you for your contribution once again. And she did, I have to say, she really smacked. What was the name of that slot machine?
Oh, I don't even remember. Love something. It has hearts on it.
It was a lot of fun, and you really hit that pretty good. That's a great way to start the trip, by winning money. And we'll come right back after this short break. Oh, nothing beats that theme from Peter Gunn. Oh, it was so popular. It was so popular. I remember when high school bands would do it and college bands would do it. The theme music was composed by Henry Mancini for a television show of the same name, Peter Gunn, all the way back in 1959. And actually, Mancini won an Emmy Award and two Grammys for the Album of the Year, Peter Gunn. Woohoo! The music from Peter Gunn. But what's more important, we're going to talk about bubble craps and why you should consider putting bubble craps on your gambling agenda. Well, you know, I think all but two of the buffets are closed in Las Vegas. Janie tells me the Cosmopolitan, Wicked Spoon is open with servers dishing out the food, and also South Point's buffet, a very good one, is open. And so what do you do instead of going to buffets? Gamble, gamble, gamble. But here's the problem. You may have a time at a craps table where you lose a lot of money. I don't care how good you are. You know, I don't care if you can, in your heart, control dice, which you can't, you know, but you're going to lose money playing craps at times, and you're going to win a whole lot of money too. But when you're on a budget, let's say you're there 3 days, you can't lose all your money the first day. And that's where bubble craps comes in. That's one advantage of bubble craps. Bubble craps is a machine that usually has a circular clear dome on it with two large dice in it. I mean, about the half the size of, maybe a third of the size of a basketball, these dice. They're craps dice, you know, so opposite ends equal seven. You know how that works. Two on one side, opposite that is a five. Four on one side, opposite that is a three. Those are craps dice, my friends. And you're not going to be the shooter, but because no one's actually throwing the dice, but there's a drum on the bottom of this dome that pops them up in the air. You know, they hit the top and they spin around and they come down. So if you're the kind of person like me that sets dice, I set dice, but I always think, well, it's somebody else shooting. You know, you're at a table and somebody else shooting. So I just don't wait for myself to play. You know, I join in with other people unless I think they're really pretty wild, just throwing the dice. But, you know, if they're taking care with the dice, yeah, I'm betting with them. So here's my point. Craps dice could be a dollar to play a number, could be $2 or $3. I haven't seen any more than $3. So, you know, you can go, let's talk about this. You can go 44 inside. The normal way at a $10 table would be $44, 10 on the 5, 10 on the 9, 12 on the 6, 12 on the 8. Well, on a dollar craps machine, bubble craps machine, you can go $4 inside. You see the difference? So what if it was $2, right? $2 inside, you get $8 at risk. And the thing is, you can try out things that you normally don't do. You can experiment. You can make, as far as I'm aware, you can make almost every bet that you can make on a regular craps table. You can't play pass line and dome pass at the same time and then go a hybrid. That's the only thing you can't do. But, you know, it's just like being at a table and so you're not shooting the dice. Don't tell me they're fixed. No corporation is going to risk their gaming license to fix a bubble craps machine that sits empty half the day. Come on, like, use your head, right? But it's pretty close to the real craps in terms of how things work out. I've seen long cold spells on bubble craps machines, and I've seen a lot of people roll numbers, you know, 30, 40 times. And usually you can bet up to $100. So, you know, you can play at a higher level if you want to. But if you're there for a couple of days, and say you have a $600 gaming budget, all right, first day you're going to go $100 in bubble craps, the second day $100 in bubble craps, and the third day you're going to take the balance to $400 or more and go to a craps table. That's why I think bubble craps helps you with your agenda, because your agenda should have a, let's be honest, gambling budget by day. All right. The other thing Janie told me to add to this before we leave this segment is that, you know, you can check out and see what's open as far as shows, recreational accommodations that casinos have by going on their website or giving them a call. You know, give them a call and see how things are at that particular casino as this pandemic hopefully is unwinding to a close. All right, one more segment today. We're going to go to Craps Talk, and I'm sorry it's not Peter Gunn. It's 321 Craps, and here it comes. We're going to talk about a system of play we call 44 Up and Down, a system designed for $10 tables.
3, 2, 1.
Well, we were the ones that came out with 3-2-1 craps, and that was accelerated, made famous by Color Up, Jeremy Ellerick's videos on YouTube on playing craps, and it went over 200,000 plays. Oh my goodness, we're so happy for Jeremy for putting it on there. But basically, it was just a way for low rollers to play the regular game of craps, and you know, if it was three times the pass line, that was a 6 or 8 odds behind the pass line. 2 times on a 5 or a 9, and 1 time on a 4 or 10. You know, so on a $5 table, your biggest odds bet behind the line would be $15. And you could just double it if you're at a $10 table. You know, it would be 30, 20, 10. So that's what 3-2-1 craps was about. But also we added playing the inside numbers, 5, 6, 8, 9. If one of those is the point, of course, you're playing it from the pass line with your odds behind it. And going down after two or three hits. That's how we played our version of being a low roller and playing craps from the pass line with that system. And it, you know, it became very popular, and other people took our name from us. It wasn't copyrighted or anything, and used it in a number of ways, 3-2-1 craps, but that originated with us. Well, this one is 44 up and down, and so if you enjoy 3-2-1 craps, you might, what's the word, dig this a little bit too. oh my, huh? All right, so here we go. So you get to a craps table, and there's a delay in the game, but there's a shooter. It's not a come-out roll, so there's a shooter. And the delay in the game is maybe they're, I don't know, changing chips, whatever. This often happens. So, you know, you just said, well, might as well come in. You get your chips, and while you're waiting for the box man to straighten out whatever they have to straighten out, you say, give me 44 inside. So you got a $10 5, $10 9, and 12 on the 6, 12 on the 8. You don't have a pass line. You don't have a down pass line. And you can just stay with this. You know, you can just play the 44 up and down without a pass line or a down pass line bet. Well, remember the odds of the game, if they're working in infinity, they might be working at the table you're at, is that a roll usually lasts 8 rolls before that devil 7 appears. You know, and if you're a pass line player or a place better, that means you lose all your bets, right? So we're trying to get everything done, wrapped up in that time period, and we're going to press a number. So when a 4 is hit or a 10, we're going to count that as one roll, but we're not making any money. So let's hope they don't throw any of those, you know? Okay, I'll give you a couple options with that in a second. All right, so let's say your first hit is a 6, and you have a $12 bet on it, so you win 14. And you're going to go up now by taking that 6 to 3 units and taking that 8 to 3 units, which will cost you $12, $6 on the 6, $6 on 8. You now have $18 bets on the 6 and 8. $18 bets on the 6 and 8. If the next number that rolls is also a 6 or it's an 8, you're going to win $21. You're going to win $21. And you're going to continue to increase your 6 and 8, another unit. You'll take each one to 24. That's cost you $12 of that $21 you just won. And you're done. You're going to be collecting from this point on a 6 and 8. Okay, if a 4 hits, nothing. If a 10 hits, nothing. But if a 5 hits, what do you win? You win $14. Right. A $5 bet, as you know, on the 5 or 9 pays 7. And you have two $5 bets. You have a $10 bet, so you win 14. So what you're going to do, you're going to increase the 5 and the 9, $5. Which now means that you have, what do you have? You have a $15 bet on the 5 and a $15 bet on the 9. Yeah, and you made $4. And so what I'm going to do the first time a 5 or 9 hits, I'm going to go hard ways a dollar each. All right, so I'm covering the 4 and 10 a little bit. That's what I'm telling you about. Okay, so any money left over now, and I'm not going to increase those bets anymore. I'm going to collect. So the point is 44 up. I'll go up twice on the 6 and 8, and we'll go up once on the 5 or 9. So if that 9 hit, you would increase the 9 bet by one unit, and you would increase the 5 bet by one unit. I hope this is making sense. It's not really that complicated. And you can either pocket the extra $4 or, again, press the hard ways. All right, now, we're in a pretty good situation right now because we're going to take at least 2 hits. Maybe we have room before we get to 8, 3 hits. Everything on the board now pays $21. We have $18 sixes, $18 eights. A winning bet pays $21. We have 15 on a 5, 15 on a 9. Winning bets pay $21. So with two hits were $42, and we're off. We're down. Up and down. 44 up, going up, sir, and 44 down. And once you win some money, you know, and this is how I do it, and this is how I did it at a Rocky Gap. Once I win some money, then I might just stay up until I get a feeling. You know, like, for example, a stick change, dice go off the table, whatever. I might say, you know, let's just wrap this up. I'm coming down. If I just want to go off for one roll, I could just say, take me off, and then come right back on again. But generally, in 44 up and down, I'm just going to come down. Okay, I got four hits. Life is good. Four times 21 isn't too bad. If I did that on every shooter, man, I'd be rolling. All right, so I'm going to come down. All right, so that decision's up to you. But one more time quickly, 44 up. I got no line bets at all. All right, I have $12, $6, $12 rate. If one of those hits, I'm going to increase each one $6, which takes each one to 18. I got a few bucks left over because I won $14. So I'll go dollar hard six, dollar hard eight. And I'll do that. I'll press the six and eight one more time that way till I get to 24. And then I'm done and I'll start collecting. No matter what the five or nine is, I'll start collecting once the six and eight is at $21. If it went the other way, if the five and nine gives us a winner first, that $10 press, $5 more to the five more dollars to the nine, I still might press up the six and eight, or I may not. That's going to be the leeway. But no matter what, I'm not going more than two times on a number. So that's my rule. You know, you can say, well, you're only going to go one time on a number sometimes. Yeah, an extremely cold table, I'll just go one time on a number. So that's why I didn't specify exactly how long I'm going to stay in it on a you know, an even up table, things are going pretty good. I'll press twice and then I'm going to start collecting because every win is $21. 44 up and down. And remember, if the table gets red hot, I'm still not going to press up. I'm just going to collect. However, if the shooter makes the point, you know, and has a good roll going, the possibility of a good roll, once the new point's established, I might press all those numbers, one unit. It might be that one of the numbers I have $15 on or $18 on, if it's a six and eight, is the point, and I'll just move that to a odds bet behind the pass line and make it work mathematically. So there it is. And that little system there, I'm not playing the pass line or the dome pass. Well, hey, won me $270 at the Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Western Maryland. And so that's the only time I used it. And I, you know, the more I thought about it, I really liked it. It's an alternative to 3-2-1 craps. Now, remember, if the shooter makes the point and one of my place bets, you know, on the next roll is the point, that's going to make me do what? Press up each number one unit, or I could even, if the point number, let's say, was a six, I could even make it a put bet. That's what I said. Put myself on the pass line with the odds behind the pass line. If I don't want to confuse the dealers, I'll just press up, you know, one unit. It depends what kind of casino, what kind of dealers I have, so they can understand what I'm talking about. I've made put bets, and people say, you can't do that. You know, I know you can, but, you know, apparently with these dealers, you can sometimes. 44 up and down. 44 up and down. Okay, that brings us to the end of another Casinos USA podcast, and we hope you enjoyed it. And remember, Casinos USA is still a place where every day is Saturday. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in a couple weeks.